What's up, everybody? Welcome to another Baseball America Prospects podcast. I am Carlos Collazo here with Kyle Glazer. Kyle, how's it going, buddy?
Doing all right. Ready to talk some more prospects with you. Got the Angels today, one of the more rising systems in the game.
Very interesting system. But first of all, thank you all for tuning in to today's Baseball America podcast. Our podcast and Facebook Live broadcasts are sponsored by Baseballism. Baseballism is the official off-the-field brand of baseball, offering apparel for men, women, and kids. If you're a baseball fan, you need to check out Baseballism.com. Visit Baseballism.com and enter the code BASHIP to save 20% off. Definitely go check that out. They've got a lot of cool gear. I know I rock the hoodies. But today, yeah, excited to talk about the Angels farm system. Kyle, you know a lot about this system, and really, I know for the people listening, I'm sure the person they're going to think of right off the bat is Shohei Ohtani. I feel like we can go ahead and dive into that and talk about it. And then really even after that, this is an interesting system in my mind that's transformed recently. A few years ago, it was one of the most empty systems in the league. I don't think that was up for much of a debate. At this point, a very solid system on the rise, and having Ohtani definitely helps.
Absolutely. First of all, I have to give credit to Mike DiGiovanna, Los Angeles Times, put together an excellent, excellent top 30 for us.
Yeah, and actually the first time that I've talked to you in these podcasts, we have the book, the Prospect Handbook, physically right here. You guys might have gotten yours by the time you're listening to this. If you haven't, definitely go check it out. It's definitely worth the purchase, and we appreciate all who support us by getting it.
Yes, you know, Shohei Ohtani, obviously, look, we all know the story. The Japanese Babe Ruth, guy who hits 500-foot home runs, throws, 102. I think what's going to be most fascinating is just as this rookie year goes on, separating, fact from fiction. Mm-hmm. There's a couple things to understand about Shohei Ohtani. He's the same age as Carlos Correa. Yeah. This isn't, he's not 27, 28. I mean, even though Correa is now an established star, mm-hmm. you still think of him as a young, super young, exactly. almost next wave type of guy. Shohei Ohtani is still a very young player. Mm-hmm. He's 23. He's a guy that, a lot of people, I think, are kind of expecting to come over, and go 21-8 with mm-hmm. a sub-3 ERA and hit, 20 bombs, right off the bat. Mm-hmm. And what's come up pretty consistently is, first of all, just pitching-wise, he might eventually become that mm-hmm. true Cy Young contending number one ace, but there's going to be an adjustment period. He's still a young pitcher, learning out the finer points of sequencing, mm-hmm. just kind of getting, command down in the zone of all his pitches. It's explosive stuff. Fastball, he'll run it up anywhere, 93 to 100. He can reach back, he can dial it down. Both his slider and his forkball are absolutely ridiculous pitches. The forkball in particular is his out pitch. Mm-hmm. You see everything you want to see. He's athletic. There's a good delivery. There's been some injury situations. He only threw 25 innings last year because of an ankle injury. Mm-hmm. There's all the reports about his elbow. So I think that if I'm an Angels fan, I'm excited to have Shohei Ohtani. Mm-hmm. I, know that this is a guy I can stick at the front of my rotation and automatically makes the entire pitching staff better. Yep. But I feel like there's almost going to be a disappointment if he goes, 14-9, 3-4-0.
It's tough when you're this hyped up before anyone sees you.
Right, which would be a really, really good rookie season mm-hmm. for a 23-year-old, and pitches well, holds up over 150 innings. So I think for a lot of Angels fans, and we've repeated this a few times if you've listened to our other podcasts, the consensus from all the guys who have faced these other guys have said, you Darvish and Masahiro Tanaka were better when they came out mm-hmm. than Shohei Ohtani is.
Yep.
If those guys have better success, those guys were older, they were a little more refined, they had some more pitchability. Shohei Ohtani could be better than them, and both of them have been fantastic, mm-hmm. Darvish especially. But it will take 3 years to get there. Yeah. So I think, on the one hand, he's a premier prospect. In any other year, he's the number one prospect in baseball. We've had this discussion. He, long term, he might still be the number one prospect in baseball this year, even ahead of Ronald Acuna. Mm. But I think that's the big thing. Pitching-wise, that's where he's going to be, at worst, a really good contributor, and then over time, mm-hmm. a superstar.
Okay. Yeah, and you actually talked to
ace, I should say.
Yeah, you talked to some guys who played with Ohtani in Japan. If you guys haven't checked out that article, you can find it online at baseballamerica.com. Definitely good insight into the guys who have actually played with him already. Ohtani, obviously the number one in this system. Is there anything else you want to talk about him as a hitter at this point, or should we dive into some of these other players?
So that's
Ohtani
where,
is obviously the headline.
That's the big thing. Look, he's going to get the chance to play two ways. He will be a designated hitter only. Mm-hmm. He won't be playing the outfield. The Angels have talked about moving to a six-man rotation, giving him an extra day where, say he pitches on a mm-hmm. Sunday, he's off Monday. DH, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, maybe even Thursday, take a day off, you know, Friday, Saturday, and go back, depending on just how the schedule falls, where the off days are. I think the biggest thing that's come up with Shohei Ohtani is, look, there's as much as he's got tremendous raw power. Mm-hmm. No one denies that this is a guy who can hit a ball as hard and as far as, you know, you want 500 true 500-foot home runs, he's done it. At the same time, there's length to the swing. Mm-hmm. He never faced inside fastballs in Japan. That came up a number of times from Japanese pitchers, I should say, because he's a left-handed hitter, right-handed thrower. Mm-hmm. No Japanese pitcher wanted to be the guy that pitched Ohtani inside, hit his elbow, and ruined his pitching career.
Exactly.
The American pitchers over there said they weren't afraid. They pitched him inside, and they had a lot of success there against him. And if you talk to some of the individuals about once he started facing velocity, he didn't always turn on it. He could power it out to center, power it out to left, but you know, pulling the ball in the air with authority against anything above 92, 93 is generally an indicator, something you want to see. Mm. So there's a sense that he might be able to make these adjustments, but it will take time.
Yeah.
And it's not something where right now I think it's realistic to expect him to go out and hit 20 bombs his first year. Mm. I do think, to be honest, the most likely scenario is if by August the Angels are in the race and, you know, they need him to pitch and let Pujols and Crone DH and figure that out. I think ultimately, I personally do believe when all said and done, Shohei Ohtani will be pitching only. Mm-hmm. And if he does hit, it will be in a part-time, provide some power, but there's very little expectation that he's going to be able to hit 285 with 25 bombs playing part-time and pitching. It's out of the realm of what most people expect to be possible.
Okay, cool. We'll just let Mike Trout take care of things in the lineup there.
Yeah, they're in good shape with that guy, to say the least.
And then after you get Ohtani at the top, obviously any system would want to have him at the top. You got a couple of interesting outfielders, one of whom was just selected in the 2017 class with the 10th pick, Joe Adell. Super toolsy guy, had a great debut season. And then Jamai Jones, right behind him. I guess these guys are obviously very different players. One has been in the system for a while, been in the league for a while since 2015, coming off a really strong year. What are your thoughts on these two guys, and are they kind of in the same tier? I know we always talk about the tiers. Joe Adell, is he significantly higher than Jones at this point for you? Or I guess just take me through these two guys in your mind.
Sure. So look, Shohei Ohtani is the clear number one in the system. Joe Adell was the number one in this system before Ohtani signed, and that's a heck of a number one in any system. Jamai Jones was the number one in the system last year, and did nothing wrong to, you know, have to move down from that. He had a fantastic season. So you really have three really good prospects, all of them are top 100 guys. Yep. There was a pretty clear delineation. You know, Ohtani's your number one. Odell's just... Everything's, you know, Jamai Jones is an explosive athlete. Mm-hmm. It's going to be more doubles over home runs. You know, the hitting ability took a step forward. There's still some questions.
Seems like with Adell, kind of across the board, the tools are so much louder.
Right. That's where there's more power, a little bit faster.
Arm, 70 grade power.
Arm could be
70
better.
70 runner.
And if you think 70 grade power, that sounds aggressive, and it is. Mm. That comes from talking to individuals after he went to camp in Tempe after the season. He was hitting home runs that were only going to places Mike Trout and CJ Crone hit them.
Yeah.
I mean, there was more power than even the Angels realized. And this is a guy who led the nation home runs as a high schooler.
Yeah, this is a guy who, if it weren't for Mackenzie Gore, would have been the high school player of the year for us. And really, it was a tough debate between the two, just what he did in Louisville, hitting well over 20 home runs in high school, just destroying everything. I think he had multiple 3 home run games in high school. And obviously it's high school, but he performed in 2017 with a .325 average, hit 5 home runs in 49 games.
With a lot of doubles, a lot of triples.
532 slugging. Like, he is an impact player. And we haven't even talked about his defensive ability at this point. What do you see from him there?
So there is a sense that while he could play center field, he's a bigger, stronger dude, 6'3", 200, probably going to get bigger. So he's not really...
He is an absolute beast in the gym.
So there's a sense that while he could play center field, that's not... You know, his defense would never be elite, be average to above. But the idea would be Jamai Jones in left, Jordan Adell in right, Mike Trout in center.
Pretty good outfield.
That's a great outfield. And, you know, if ultimately Trout isn't re-signed, you know, maybe you have to have, okay, Brandon Marsh versus Joe Adell, who's in center, see how they each grow and develop. And Jamai Jones is a perfectly good center fielder. Is much more, you know, his instincts, his reads are really good. plus runner. So he could very well be the center fielder as well.
Yeah, which, by the way, if Joe Adell, if the whole hitting thing doesn't work out, he also threw 95 off the mound in high school and has a hammer curveball. He was a pretty serious two-way prospect in the class, but made it clear that he wanted to hit. And so far, he's definitely done that.
Yeah, so, I mean, I do think, you know, this is the tier of, hey, these are the top 100 guys. Mm-hmm. And this top three was not really up for debate, even though they signed Kevin Maiton. Brandon mm-hmm. Marsh did a lot of good things. This was the top three pretty clear-cut in this mm-hmm. system.
Yep, and then, of course, once you get to four, we have the top 10 online. And, of course, you can check out the whole top 30 if you get the prospect handbook. But an interesting one here, Kevin Maiton. The Angels definitely had a chance to add some talent over the offseason and did so with Ohtani and getting Maiton after he was let go from the Braves with their whole situation with the international signings. But Kevin Maiton, definitely not the prospect that he was before he actually came into professional ball. I think the star has faded a bit. But how has Kevin Maiton changed from one of the best prospects we've seen coming out of Venezuela, getting comps to guys like Miguel Cabrera, Chipper Jones, to what he's at now when we've had a short but a fairly significant professional look?
If you go across the nation and find the best 15-year-old, that's very rarely going to be the best 18-year-old. Mm-hmm. We see that with, you know, boys and men especially. I mean, anyone who's ever played any level knows the guy that's best at age 12 is very rarely the guy that's best at age 15. The guy that's best at age 15 is very rarely the guy best at age 18. And a lot of times, the guy who's best at 18 is not the guy who's best at 21. Mm-hmm. I think with Kevin Maiton, you saw a guy who was the best 15-year-old. Mm-hmm. And there have been times where these guys have worked out. Miguel Sano was identified that young. It worked out. But, you know, you go back and look internationally, you'll see a lot of guys who were not ranked that high.
Ronald Acuña is one that comes to mind.
Victor Robles was another guy signed for $225,000. I mean, so I think it's something where, look, Kevin Maiton still does things you like. You mm-hmm. see a switch hitter. Part of the issue was he, you know, was 175 when he signed. He was 211 anyone puts on 35 pounds in a year, it's going to slow you down.
Yep.
He really worked out. He's back down closer now to 190, which is a better weight. I think, you know, you still say, okay, switch hitting third baseman, you know, with power potential.
Let's go ahead and address that. He's listed as a shortstop now. Does anyone believe he can stay there?
No, it's a switch hitting third baseman, yep. You know, with power. He has hands. Mm-hmm. He has hands, but the footwork, it's not great. Again, if you're talking about switch-hitting third baseman with growing power, that's a really nice thing to have. Yeah. And that's why you'll see Kevin Maiton ultimately fell just outside the top 100, because the scouts who saw him throughout the Appalachian League, it mm-hmm. was very clear that they did not see a player who was a top 100 prospect. Yeah. That was, you know, it got better as the year went on. He really adjusted well. Again, this is a kid who had never played a night game mm-hmm. his entire life before this year. So you have to remember there's a huge learning curve, a huge adjustment curve. And when you get your prospect handbooks, you'll still see an all-star grade on him, mm-hmm. ceiling grade. It's just the risk is very, very extreme. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it's going to be, okay, not only what you know, he got better shape over the offseason, now is he going to maintain it, because that's going to be something he needs to do moving forward. You need to see some progressions with just, you know, in the box, just kind of his – you know, swing mechanics, mm-hmm. you need to see him get more comfortable
yeah,
in the field.
Yeah, that's another question I had that I wanted to bring up here, and you guys can obviously read more in detail in the prospect handbook. But the question about his potential, I guess, fading a little bit, is that more to do with the body questions, or is it more to do with something about the hit tool has been reevaluated that is not as promising as it once was? Is there something in the swing that people have questions about, or is it a body?
He's a switch hitter. Right-handed swing looked fine, but yep. if you're going to be a switch hitter and you're going to be strong one side, you want to be stronger on the left side.
Yep, exactly.
The left-handed swing was problematic. A lot of length, a lot less bat speed. Mm-hmm. But again, you know, this is a very young kid. You know, he was born February of 2000. He's going to be 18 when, you know, in a few days. So I think we know this is a kid who has shown promise, mm-hmm. and there's no, you know, as much as this year was disappointing in some ways, first time in the U.S., huge cultural adjustment, huge adjustment to just the schedule, the work, everything. So there's no reason to bury the kid. And you'll see him ranked, you know, we talk about tiers. The top three were the top three. There was no question. You know, Kevin Maiton, Brandon Marsh were neck and neck in that next tier, fourth and five. And Brandon Marsh is a guy who has been a level higher, was a well-regarded draft pick, has performed, and everyone loves. So it's a testament that we have Kevin Maiton ranked, you know, right with Brandon Marsh. That's a testament to how high we still think of him.
Yeah, I think a lot of the times, we've talked about this before, but if guys aren't top 100 prospects, people think we hate them. That's not always
further from the truth. So I think that ultimately this will be, like, it's not a kid's 18-year-old year in rookie ball is never a make or break year.
Exactly.
But I do think he's a guy that bears watching in terms of, you know, whether it's in Tempe in the Arizona League or if he gets out to Orem in the hitter friendly Pioneer League. Just watch and see what happens, because I think he's a guy that really split. And look, there's a long history of guys whose amateur scouting report and pro scouting report read very, very different. And it's going to be up to him and what the work he puts in to try and get back on track.
Yep. Well, you brought up Brandon Marsh and you brought up Orem. Brandon Marsh at 350, 396, 548 there. Is that more to do with the league, or is he that kind of a hitter? I guess we can round out the top five and then we'll kind of dive into the class as a whole. But take me through Brandon Marsh. He was injured in 2016, but sounds like a potential five-tool guy. What do you have on Brandon Marsh, Kyle?
If Brandon Marsh can stay healthy, and this is going to sound lofty, he can be, when all's said and done, when you look back on this list 5 years from now, if he's the second most productive major leaguer on this list behind Shohei Ohtani, no one should be shocked. His tools are that loud. His performance is that impressive. It's only been a matter of health with him.
Okay.
He had a back issue after he was drafted that held him out. This year he jammed his thumb sliding and ended up missing some time. When he's been on the field, he's been fantastic.
Yeah, he was also an extremely talented wide receiver in high school and won multiple state championships. So athletic guy for sure. Not that you guys want to hear about his football prowess in this podcast, but the talent that this team has in the outfield is very impressive.
And you go back, when the Angels, their glory days, debuted, you know, Tim Salmon, Garrett Anderson, Darren Erstad, and Jim Edmonds all together, all four of those guys, four All-Star outfielders in 5 years. That set the table for the best run of franchise history. And look, these guys are very far. Joe Adell and Brandon Marsh have yet to get out of rookie ball. Jamiah Jones has 41 games of high A.
Which he has improved basically as he's gone up the ladder.
Right, so these guys are still, a lot can go wrong. There's a lot of time left, but I think when you look at this Angels farm system, you mentioned how much it's improved, and if you see our organization talent rankings, you'll see it's gone up from dead last to firmly solid in the middle of the of the big leagues. It's not just because of Shohei Ohtani. It's not just because of Kevin Maiton. It's three homegrown outfielders that all have not just everyday ceilings, but above average everyday ceilings and maybe even all-star ceilings.
Once you get past those top five guys, what do you kind of see as the strengths and weaknesses of this farm? Is there any one area in particular that you look at and you say, okay, down the line, they're going to have to address this issue if they want a well-rounded farm?
Infielders right now. You get down. So this next group, you've got an interesting group of pitchers. So we talked about, 1, 2, and 3 are kind of in their own zones. 4 and 5 are in the next tier. You know, Jaime Barria, Chris Rodriguez, Matt Theis, Griffin Canning, 6 through 9, are kind of bunched together that next tier. Four right-handers and a first baseman who, everyone agrees is a big leaguer, but it's a big leaguer in the John Jaso, Scott Hatterberg kind of second division, high on base, low power first baseman, which again, those guys started on teams that made postseasons. It's not a terrible type of player to have, but you also are kind of always looking to upgrade from that. I think that's kind of the general sense there. But you go down this list, there's some really interesting young pitchers. The outfielders are strong. Michael Hermosillo is another ex-football star who's a really good athlete in the outfield. Infielders, though, they're short.
Have six infielders in the system. Top one is Matt Theis, the first baseman. Actually, Kevin Maiton.
You have Maiton, you have Matt Theis. You get to Leonardo Rivas, LeVon Soto. Some of these guys do some things you like, right? Leo Rivas, really good strike zone awareness at 420 on base.
Yeah, I guess we could have talked with LeVon Soto when we talked with Maiton, just because they came from a similar situation.
But at the same time, Soto's a different type. Good glove, light bat, maybe it works out. He controls the strike zone, so that's a positive.
I think a guy who when I read LeVon Soto's scouting report, I think of Andrelton Simmons. Obviously, that's a tough comp to put on someone. I'm not comping them, but just the profile sounds similar. So you think of a guy who's very gifted defensively and has great instincts. Not saying that it's anything like Andrelton's, but that's exciting. You can at least dream on him.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see how he develops. There's a long, long, long way to go.
Yeah.
You know, I think for a lot of folks, though, you know, the Angels, we talk about their infield. Second base has been a long-term problem for them. Mm-hmm. Third base has been a long-term problem for them. You know, Albert Pujols is still signed to play first base, and CJ Cron has been fine in spurts, but the Angels' strength as a big league team is mostly in the outfield mm-hmm. now with Justin Upton, Mike Trout, Cole Calhoun. They have more outfielders in the minors, but their weak spot is the infield and has been for years at the major league level. It's also the weak spot in their minor league system. Mm-hmm. So I think if you're the Angels now, you know, not that you ever draft for major league need because mm-hmm. it's so many years off.
Exactly.
I think that is the whole. You know, the other thing is, you know, on the pitching side, look, it's been a long – the Angels used to be great at turning out homegrown pitchers like none other. You can actually see our homegrown roster series where if you look back over the past 15 years – the Angels are the best team in baseball developing homegrown pitchers. Mm-hmm. They roll 11 deep. There's all-stars. There's guys who contended for Cy Youngs in their primes. There's guys who were throwing no-hitters. But there is a gap. And I think right now we're starting to see the Angels bring some of those young guys up. Griffin Canning was a nice draft pick last year. Mm-hmm. Jaime Barria rose all the way up to AAA. He's a really good pitchability starter who will start games in the major leagues. Chris Rodriguez is a high-upside guy. And you go down... there's a really interesting group of Latin American arms in the lower mm-hmm. minors. Jose Suarez, Jose Soriano, Steve Aquino. They traded Wilkel Hernandez in order to get Ian Kinsler, I should mm-hmm. say. Another guy, Elvin Rodriguez, was traded to get Justin Upton. So I think that's where the Angels can look at the they have these outfielders, they have these right-handed pitchers, and, you know, again, it's these guys are so long way off, it's not a direct comparison, but... you know, Matt Shoemaker, Andrew Heaney, Tyler Skaggs, Garrett Richards, Nick Trobaiano, while they've all shown you talent, none of them have been able to stay healthy.
Mm-hmm.
None of them. So on the one hand, you can look at the Angels at the big league level and say, hey, they've got some pitching. And, you know, you look and say they got Jaime Barria ready to go in AAA if one goes down. But in recent years, at least, it hasn't been one of them going down. It's been four of them
exactly.
going down. So, Parker Bridwell was a nice pickup. So there's guys there, but I think for the Angels, needing that next wave of arms that they can start to move up their system will be important as these guys continue to repeatedly suffer injuries, mm-hmm. move up the age spectrum.
Is there any arm that stands out to you as maybe a guy who is capable of taking a jump?
Soriano is the guy I think if you're an Angels fan, you really want to watch. You know, it's the guy, you know, that perfect pitcher's build, right? 6'3", 170. We talk a lot about, you know, that athletic build. He'll show you 100, but it's mostly just, you know, low 90s, 96, you know, which is perfect velocity. Arm action for a changeup. It's on the come, but it'll get there. Mm-hmm. Shows you a really advanced feel for a curve. Well, anytime you have a right-hander who's athletic, shows you velocity, shows feel to spin, and is, you know, the changeup has, you know, the arm action is there for the changeup, that's a really, really promising thing. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's not just entirely projection. You know, he's made 25 starts, all rookie ball, but still, you know, 25 starts at a 2.2 ERA. So, I mean, he's performed, he projects, he's really good. I think that's the guy of all these young Latin American arms the Angels can look at 2-3 years from now and say, hey, you know, this guy is doing some good things for us.
All right. Well, I think you did a pretty awesome job taking us through the system. Are there any other final thoughts you have? Any other players you want to mention that we haven't touched on yet?
I think mostly
definitely
just...
sounds like the system is on the come up for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, I mean, just mostly, just, you know, a testament to how much of a talent infusion the system has seen over mm-hmm. the last 2 to 3 years. Look at the back of this list. The guys who are, you know, 25 to 30, you know, Jake Jewell, David Fletcher, Joe Gatto. Those used to be top 10 guys in the
yep.
system, and those guys haven't really changed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jake Jewell was always, you know, he's big, he's got some velocity, I don't know if he can throw enough strikes. David Fletcher's always been, yeah, you know, he could be a useful utility guy. Joe Gatto was always a, hey, there's some stuff, we'll see, you know, projectable, it might work, it might not.
Mm-hmm.
The profile on those guys hasn't changed. There's just, rightfully, a lot more better talent above them now.
there you go. If you're an Angels fan, you have more to get excited about now than Mike Trout and fantastic defensive plays from Anderson Simmons. A lot of promising young players, one of which you're going to be seeing very, very soon at the Major League level. But I appreciate you taking us through it, Kyle. Follow Kyle on Twitter at Kyle A. Glazer, I believe.
Yep.
You can follow me on Twitter at Carlos A. Collazo. Thank you guys for tuning in. Today's podcast and our Facebook Lives are sponsored by Baseballism. Visit baseballism.com for the best apparel in baseball and enter the code BASHIP to save 20%. Once again, thank you guys for listening, and until next time.